Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. We hope you're having a pleasant Tuesday. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson. We are looking at a talk that was given in the most recent General Conference, October 2012, a talk given by President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, a second counselor in the first presidency under Thomas S. Monson. It was a talk titled, Come Join With Us. The reason why we're wanting to spend so much time on this particular talk is because it was really the buzz all over the web. A lot of Mormon blog sites were discussing this. Some were, of course, quite favorable in some of the things that he said, and then you had some of the more intellectual blog sites that were probably a little more critical of some of the things that he was saying in this talk. And I will say, I was surprised by some of the things that were said, and at the same time, though, I could not help but see how much confusion could possibly be in the Mormon church when guys like this get up in General Conference and they talk and they say things that go quite against the grain of what's been said earlier in Mormon manuals or even in other General Conference messages. The poor Latter-day Saint people trying to figure out what is expected of me, I guess, could be quite a burden, quite a weight on their shoulders. He goes on in his talk to talk about, under the subheading, why would anyone join such a church? He starts to talk about the statistics in the Mormon church.
He says, at a time when many churches throughout the world are experiencing significant decreases in numbers, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, though small in comparison with many others, is one of the fastest growing churches in the world. As of September 2013, the church has more than 15 million members around the world.
Now, the fact that he repeated the 15 million number, I thought was kind of interesting because Thomas Monson actually opened up the conference by giving that same number. So obviously, they're very proud of that 15 million number. However, what he doesn't tell you, folks, is that many in that 15 million are not even active.
They won't take you off just because you leave the church. If you decide you're going to leave, you have to go through a process. You have to take the effort to do that. They're not like the Jehovah's Witnesses who, once you become deactivated, you're gone, and they'll take you off the rolls. And so when they say they have 8 million people and the Mormon church has 15, I'm not sure that really the Mormons have more faithful people than the Jehovah's Witnesses do.
I would say that the Jehovah's Witnesses are probably much more honest in how they keep track of their membership record than the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. By, as you said, many of those who become inactive and do not take the effort to get their names off the list are still on the list. And so if you are a former Mormon, if you believe in your heart you're no longer a Latter-day Saint and you haven't taken the time to get your name off, you probably should do that, if not for personal closure, but at least so they're not using your name when they give statistics like this.
And how do you get onto that role? What does a person have to do to be able to be counted as one of those 15 million?
You have to basically be baptized in the Mormon church.
And that could happen in the third week. I mean, you could literally get baptized, and then let's say you walk away fourth week, fifth week, and especially people who are outside the United States, I'm sure it happens a lot. They think,
it does happen a lot.
What am I going to get out of this? They don't get what they think. Yeah. They leave. I don't think anybody's going around, I'm sure the missionaries aren't, saying, oh, let me erase that, because that's counted to them as credit for how many converts they've had over the 2 years that they're out.
Well, when he did say that the Mormon church is one of the fastest growing churches in the world, he did say one of, he didn't say the fastest, but one of the fastest growing churches in the world. I was kind of surprised that he actually said that. Mormons have been cautioned in the past about talking like that. In fact, we even have a couple of references in our book answering Mormons' questions.
Yeah, in Chapter 5, this is the question we asked. If Mormonism is wrong, then why is it one of the fastest growing churches? And what about the fruits of Mormonism? So in Chapter 5, we go through and talk about that. But in the first page of that chapter, page 53, We quote the Newsroom, which is an official LDS website, and it says the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the second fastest growing church in the United States. However, despite its increasing numbers, the church cautions against overemphasis on growth statistics. The church makes no statistical comparisons with other churches and makes no claim to be the fastest growing Christian denomination, despite frequent news media comments to that effect.
Well, news media, it was Uchtdorf and Monson who did it just recently.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. They're the ones that are pushing it out there.
I find interesting what BYU professor Daniel Peterson acknowledged about the downturn in the percentages, because in 1990, they were growing by over 4% a year, an incredible rate at that time. And now they're growing by fewer than 2%.
And we should preface that Daniel Peterson's statement was actually given in, what, April of 2011.
Yeah.
It's not that old of a comment.
No, here's what he said. Today, we have been allotted tools for shaping the gospel of which the Book of Mormon prophet Alma could never have dreamed. But we have become complacent. Don't we send out full-time missionaries? Isn't that enough? Aren't we the fastest growing religion? Actually, we're not. Church growth has been falling for many years, and our current rate of missionary success is the lowest it's been for decades. The harvest is great, but the laborers are still too few. Could that be a reason, Bill? Perhaps why they lowered the missionary age from 19 to 18 for the boys and from 21 to 19 for the girls. And they, I'm going to say, bragged about it during the conference that they have over 80,000 missionaries out right now when they had fewer than 60,000 a year ago.
Well, I personally think that's one of the reasons why they lowered the age. And I'm sure there's a lot of Mormons who probably are thinking the same thing and may not say it publicly, but we seem to gather from their own statistics that they give every year that their convert baptismal rate is actually stagnant. They peaked back in 1990, folks. That's when they peaked, 330,000, 800 plus thousand convert baptisms, and they have not reached that number since. Think about that. 1990. Mm-hmm. That was quite a while ago.
It was.
And so to use this as some kind of proof that this is the true church or a church that somebody should join, I don't think that's a very strong argument at all.
That last sentence I read from Uchtdorf, when he said, as of September 2013, the church has more than 15 million members around the world. The next line, he says, there are many reasons for this, and he wants to offer a few. Well, I'm curious why he says there are many reasons for this, because yes, there are more than 15 million members in the world. It is no doubt growing, but it's not growing by the way it was 20 years ago. And I'm going to say, I think more people are leaving the church today than ever before.
Oh, I would say that's probably quite accurate.
And I think that's the reason for this sermon in the first place. I don't think this is a sermon you would normally give, come join with us, if you're not having some problems. I think this is something he's trying to head people off at the pass who are thinking about leaving the church.
He goes on to talk about why he feels that this is the Savior's church. And in one of the paragraphs, he says, those who join this church love the Savior Jesus Christ and they wish to follow him. They rejoice in the knowledge that God speaks to mankind again when they receive sacred priesthood ordinances and make covenants with God. They can feel his power in their lives. Now, I'm sure a lot of faithful Mormons would probably say, yeah, that's what I feel. But you and I, Eric, have talked to many Latter-day Saints who don't really feel that. In fact, it's those covenants that really put that huge burden of guilt upon many faithful Latter-day Saints. Because basically in those covenants, folks, what they are promising that they will do is to keep all the commandments. In fact, in the temple ceremony, there's a portion where Lucifer, the character playing Lucifer, looks into the camera and basically says, if these people do not live up to the covenants that they make here this day, I will have them in my power. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he says
that
in the temple ceremony.
That has to be frightening for a person who's never been through that ceremony before. To hear that would scare you.
And yet each time they partake of the sacrament, they make that covenant again, that covenant of keeping all the commandments. That's the way it's been understood and taught by the Mormon leadership. And then he goes on to say, when they enter the holy temple, they sense they are in his presence. And again, I would say there's probably a lot of Latter-day Saints who would probably say, yes, they feel a very good feeling when they go into these temples. I mean, For many people, they're big, beautiful buildings, they're very plush, nice furniture, nice carpet, quiet, peaceful. But what do you do with the people who don't have that kind of a feeling? Remember, we just did a series on the Swedish rescue that took place in Stockholm, Sweden back in 2010. And Hans Mattsson, one of the people who actually spearheaded having two Mormon historians come and answer questions of very distraught and, I think, very sincere members of the LDS Church in Sweden, he explained he didn't have that great feeling. He says, when I went to the temple for the first time, it was 1970 in Switzerland, and after being in there the first day, I was terrified. I couldn't sleep at night. I thought, what is this, you know? There was a black hole in my heart, and I had nightmares the whole week. Now, that's how he reacted to that. And what was interesting is that in that same evening, Marlon K. Jensen, the Mormon historian, he decides he's going to tell his story where he talks about his own daughter and how he said that he was her stake president, so I did my best to prepare her. And what happened was that she didn't have a very good experience at all. He says, I think my little daughter was quite worthy, but she was so disturbed, I'll say. Now, then again, this is Marlon K. Jensen. So surprised by the nature of what happened that I'm not sure the Holy Ghost had a chance to really help her that day. I remember sitting with her in the celestial room while she cried and said, Dad, what's this all about? Now, what's interesting about this is that earlier they talk about the fact that depending on your culture that you're raised in, it'll depend on how you react to the temple ceremony.
Right.
And I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is a girl who was raised by a man who understands church history, is her stake president, and yet she's disturbed. You would think she would be raised in the culture that would have embraced that, but yet obviously she's disturbed by what she experiences in this temple. So then when I read that, I have to wonder, what in the world is Marlon K. Jensen saying? It makes no sense. Not even your own daughter fit the criteria that you're trying to explain here.
That's a good point.
And I just don't understand why he told that story in the first place. I can only assume he thought it would never go out beyond the small group that was actually there. But even then, people have different experiences when it comes to this church. And it's not that you're not going to have some who have positive experiences, but you're also going to have many who have negative experiences.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in Utah to look at the largest inventory of Christian books addressing the Mormon religion? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City, located at 1358 South and West Temple, just across the street from Spring Mobile Ballpark. Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding a resource that will help meet your study needs. Now, the store also carries dozens of books that she and her husband Gerald have written over the past 5 decades. This includes Mormonism, Shadow or Reality. And if you have questions, there is always someone behind the desk who would be happy to speak with you. If you want to go deeper into any issue related to Mormonism, we invite you to visit the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, once again located right there at 1358 South and West Temple. We look forward to seeing you soon.